Sally Jenkins. Sally, first, you know, I know how close you are with Pat, and I'm so sorry for your loss, and I thank you so much for joining us today. I was kind of teasing a quote you said to me once, and I know you've said it to a number of people, and it's that, Pat, you may not necessarily be Pat's best friend, but she's yours.
Yes.
What is it about Pat Summitt's personality that made so many of us feel that way?
Well, she had such a big heart. She had room for everybody, you know, and she adored her friends, and her friends adored her, too, and she made everybody feel unique and special in her life, and, you know, no matter who you were. And it, you know, she was that way with the usher in Thompson Bowling Arena.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody that she whose path she crossed that she didn't make them feel worthy and special.
Yeah.
You know, Sally, I understand that you've written two books with and about Pat Summitt, but I apologize for taking you to probably the most pedestrian of all the stories that you have heard or retold about Pat. I kind of want to know the details of the infamous story about her going on a recruiting trip, being pregnant, and refusing to have that baby anywhere but Tennessee. Please tell me.
Well, yeah, it's the most famous story about her, but she was recruiting a great player, a great point guard named Michelle Marciniak, who would eventually help her win a national championship. And she was due, but the doctor thought she could make one more trip, and her water broke in the living room of the recruit. So she and Mickey DeMoss, her close friend and assistant coach, rushed back to the airport and got on their private plane. And she was on her hands and knees in the aisle of the airplane having labor pains. And the pilots could hear her in the cockpit, and they were like, "We want to put this plane down in Virginia." Well, Tennessee had been beaten by Virginia in the NCAA tournament, and she said, "If you land this plane in Virginia, you're going to have a mad woman on your hands." So she said, "This baby's going to be born in Tennessee." So they got her home, and of course, she wanted to be with her husband and her family when the baby was born, and the pilots hit the gas so hard that when the plane landed and they got Pat onto a gurney, as they're wheeling her away, she looked back and she could see black streaks along the side of the airplane where the jet fuel had burned off. So that was Pat.
I love that so
that
much.
Pat.
I know
she
it's one of the
great
famous.
Will.
Yeah. Well, thinking of, or hearing that, not that she had a bunch of yes people in her life, but who had the courage to tell her no?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, she just made you feel like she was in charge. I mean, she had real command, She was a little over in high heels, about 6'2", depending on the size of the high heels. And she had those big, intense blue eyes, and she made perfect eye contact. You know, most of us, our eyes are flitting all over the room. Pat would get you in that tractor beam and hold you there. And you just did what she said. I don't know how else to explain it.
I know one person who could stand up to her.
Your bride.
Miss Hazel.
Miss Hazel, that's
her
right.
Mother.
Pat's mother.
Yeah, Pat's mother. Pat,
that's certainly true.
Pat's mom, who's still alive, is the only person in the world who could call her Patricia.
Mm. Yeah.
If you called her Patricia, there was some trouble, huh, Sally?
Yeah, yeah. And she was, Miss Hazel, I think Pat deferred to her. I think, her mother's really a wonderful, beautiful person, and all of Pat's warmth and all of Pat's generosity comes from Miss Hazel, and I think Pat just deferred to her mother out of respect.
Yeah. You know, Sally, it's you make your living by talking to people, so you're not necessarily going to be intimidated by a particular interview subject, but I wonder what it was like the very first time you sat down to speak with Coach Pat Summitt. What was that for you?
That's a really good, interesting question because, like everyone else, I've seen Pat at a podium or at a press conference, but I hadn't really been, up close with her. And, she is intimidating. But when we started work on the first book, she had decided that she was ready to talk and she was ready to be understood. And she had committed to that. And so a person who, for all of her life, had been very shy and very reserved, just decided that, she wanted to do this book and she wanted people to know her better. And because she had made that commitment, she really just opened up the very first day. And I remember that night after the first interview, we talked for 2.5 hours, and I thought, first of all, what an interesting woman. And second of all, what an unexpectedly surprising woman, and she was just fascinating. And she just clearly was ready to talk. And I just felt privileged that I was like, I'm really lucky to be working on this book, and I'm lucky to be the person that gets to take all this down.
You know, there's a Sally Jenkins of both the Washington Post and Pat Summitt's biographer is joining us here. And again, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you've had a million media requests. One interesting thing I think we need to point out, one important thing that when we talk, when you tell the Tyler being born story, and you wrote about it and she's talked openly about it, is that Pat had a number of miscarriages leading up to Tyler being born.
Yeah, and she finally, you know, I had known that 20 years ago, mm-hmm. and she hadn't been ready to put that in a book. And when we did the last book, the third book, Sum It Up, I said, do you think you want to talk about this finally? And she said, you know, I do. And so we included it in the book because she wanted people to understand, you know, just what Tyler meant to her and why it was so important, you know, that she was finally able to have a child.
I remember the first time she told me that. It was like, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. It was just me and her that were up. I was doing contract stuff for Kara had just become a free agent after the Sacramento Monarchs had folded. And free agency is very much a deal where GMs will call you at 12:01. And Pat, you know, coach, she had just gotten back from a trip and she was up watching film. And it was just, I always look back at it, Sally, and go, that was my moment with her, where we sat up until 4:30 in the morning and we talked about everything from marriage. You know, she was going through a divorce at the time, to the difficulty of marriage. And she told me about Tyler. I think it was 5 miscarriages before Tyler was born.
Wow.
And, you know, she told me that story. And it was, you know, when I look back at my relationship with Pat, I go back to that and go, that was my moment where I go back to the line that I used that Sally said, I may not be her best friend, but she's mine. And that's what I felt like at that moment.
Is there any way, Sally, and I'm not sure if it's even possible, is she an interview subject that may have an impact on your life moving forward?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Pat made me. I mean, I was just a much younger and less accomplished person. I'd written one very small, not very good book before I met her, and I've written 10 books since. And, you know, working with Pat, she showed you what real commitment was. She showed you what real discipline was. Once you had seen her example, you couldn't turn your back on it, you know, without knowing in your conscience that you were cheating yourself. And that's what Pat did. She gave her players and the people who worked with her and worked around her a real sense of conscience that, you know, you may not give this everything, but you'll always know it, and that's going to haunt you. You know, it's incalculable, the influence she had on me. It's absolutely incalculable. And it's more than just, you know, becoming a better writer or a more disciplined writer. It was about how you treat people, how you treat yourself, how you present yourself. I mean, I can't count the number of influences she's had on me.
Sally, I'm curious, the impact obviously she had on Tennessee and the community is huge. Vice versa, what she got out of that. Did she ever have any serious considerations of going elsewhere?
You know, she was courted. I mean, she certainly had offers from other people. I think she definitely had some opportunities. I hesitate to name them because I'm not sure my memory is exactly correct. I'm pretty sure Virginia tried to hire her. I think she may have had a choice between going to work as a graduate assistant at Virginia or, at Kentucky. Before she came to Tennessee, she was a young woman out of UT Martin, and I think that she had a chance to go to Kentucky, and I just think that she decided to stay closer to home, and wasn't the state lucky.
Before we let you go, Sally, a lot of people know who Pat Summitt is, but a lot of people are getting to know Pat Summitt for the first time today. If there was one thing you wanted everyone to know about your friend, Pat Summitt, what would it be?
Well, probably what you would want people to know, Damien, just how kind she was. You know, she presented as this fierce character, and I mean, that certainly was Pat. She was very fierce, very strong. There was a lot of thunder and lightning, you know, in Pat, but once she got off the court and when she was at home, the main quality she had was just enormous kindness to everybody, her friends, her the usher in the stadium. It didn't matter, you know, who.
We can't thank you enough, Sally. We'll see you very, very soon.
Because.
All right.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you.